Please be seated. And let us turn in God's Word to Genesis chapter 7 as we continue in our study of the book of Genesis. We turn to the 7th chapter as we come to the flood, having already looked at the promise and the grace of God in the flood. Now we look at the actuality of the flood. So let us read together God's Word, Genesis chapter 7, the whole of the chapter as our text and as our scripture reading this morning. Genesis chapter 7, beginning reading at verse 1. The Lord then said to Noah, "Go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation. Take with you 7 of every kind of clean animal, a male and its mate, and 2 of every kind of unclean animal, a male and its mate, and also 7 of every kind of bird, male and female, to keep their various kinds alive throughout the earth. 7 days from now I will send rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, and I will wipe from the face of the earth every living creature I have made." And Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters came on the earth. And Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives entered the ark to escape the waters of the flood. Pairs of clean and unclean animals, of birds, and of all the creatures that move along the ground, male and female, came to Noah and entered the ark, as God had commanded Noah. And after the 7 days, the flood waters came on the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, on the 17th day of the second month, on that day all the springs of the great deep burst forth, and the floodgates of the heavens were opened, and rain fell on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On that very day Noah and his sons Shem, Ham, and Japheth, together with his wife and the wives of his 3 sons, entered the ark. They had with them every kind of animal according to its kind, all livestock according to their kinds, every creature that moves along the ground according to its kind, and every bird according to its kind, everything with wings, pairs of all creatures that have the breath of life in them, to Noah and came to Noah and entered the ark. The animals going in were male and female of every living thing, as God had commanded Noah. Then the Lord shut him in. For 40 days the flood kept coming on the earth, and as the waters increased, they lifted the ark high above the earth. The waters rose and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the surface of the water. They rose greatly on the earth, and all the high mountains under the entire heavens were covered. The waters rose and covered the mountains to a depth of more than 20 feet. Every living thing that moved on the earth perished. Birds, livestock, wild animals, all creatures that swarmed the earth, over the earth, and all mankind, everything on dry land that hath the breath of life in its nostrils died. Everything on the face of the earth was wiped out, men and animals and the creatures that move along the ground, and the birds of the air were wiped from the earth. Only Noah was left, and those with him in the ark. The waters flooded the earth for 150 days. Thus far the reading of God's Word. May He add His blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, James tells us to show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. It's a package. One will not be without the other. Our works don't save us, but when we hear God's voice through His Word bringing His commandments to us, we had better be obedient. We see it in our text this morning that God used Noah's obedience to save the world. We see in our text that the Lord proves His servant's faith through trial. Again, the Lord proves His servant's faith through trial. And as we look at our text this morning in verses 1 through 6, we see that first of all, God gives the commands. Second of all, from verses 7 through 16, we see that God gives the obedience. And third, from verses 17 through 24, we see that God gives the salvation. So first of all, we look at verses 1 through 6, and we see that God gives the commands. The Lord said to Noah, "Come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. You shall take with you 7 of every clean animal, a male and his female, 2 each of animals that are unclean, a male and his female." And so God commands Noah, and Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters were on the earth. Now, a very interesting thing throughout the Old Testament is that we often have events described a couple, even 3 times in a row. One of them in particular is the building of the temple and of the tabernacle. And as we look at our text here, we have to ask the question, what's going on here? God shows us that God is causing His Word to be fulfilled. That God commands, and man is to respond by obedience. And that God uses His commands for the purpose then of saving His people. And so, God causes His words to be fulfilled. That which God commands His people to do, yet does. But who makes the rules? God does. And why does He do this? God makes rules for our own good. No matter whether we agree or not in our own puny minds. It's like the old military saying, when God says jump, we don't ask yes or no. We ask how high. Yet it is far too easy for us to question God's commandments today. We have been trained for far too long in our culture to question authority. Yet God's authority stands. As we see in our text, obedience has eternal consequences. When God tells Noah to build the ark, as we saw in the last chapter, though it took 100 years of labor to do it, Noah did it. In all of this, however, Noah is not saving us himself, but God is saving him. We read in verse 1, "The Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation." God provides the works out and works out the salvation from the flood which is coming. Job 12:15, "If he withholds the waters, they dry up. If he sends them out, they overwhelm the earth." Who's in control of the waters? It always amazes me that people think that God didn't send a worldwide flood. The evidences are everywhere. From the top of Mount Everest, of course, to the bottom of the ocean. We find fossils of sea creatures at the very top of Mount Everest. But, well, it was just a local flood. Besides which, every culture on the earth has a story of a flood. You think that might have come from somewhere? But we're wise, and oh, it was just Israel that got flooded. The mountains were overflowed to a depth of 15 cubits, the Bible says. That's actually about 23 feet. God is in control of the waters. And so God saves man. And He is, for the most part, entirely destroying the world at this time in history. He saves the animals. We read in verses 2 and 3, "You shall take with you 7 of every clean animal, 2 of the animals that are unclean." The purpose of this is to repopulate the world after the flood. And God then makes a covenant with the world. It's called the Noahic Covenant. And it is one of the broadest covenants that God makes in the Bible. But it is a covenant, a promise from God to us. Of physical life, not of salvation. Notice the promise in Genesis 8, 21 and 22. "The Lord smelled the soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in His heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done while it remains. Seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease." This promise is a physical promise, and yet It is a promise from God. While God saves man and makes one of the broadest covenants in Scripture, it's a covenant of physical continuity to God's end. Yet here before the flood, God promises the destruction of the whole world. We read in verse 4, "For after 7 days I will cause it to rain on the earth. 40 days and 40 nights I will destroy from the face of all of the earth all living things that I have made." Our God is long-suffering. He is patient with us as sinners. But there is a judgment coming. Noah had made that abundantly clear to the people of his time, being a preacher of righteousness, but he was not heard. May we not be those deaf ears, those eardrums who rattle but do not respond. May we respond in hope and in faith to God's holy word of salvation. Now, Noah knew what God had promised he would do. And as Peter says in 2 Peter 3, verses 9 and 10, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up." So we see that the Lord has promised the destruction of the world. We see the Lord has called Noah to obedience. And likewise, God calls us to obedience. This obedience is not to save ourselves, but because God uses us. He has ordained not only our salvation, but the way in which we are saved, working faith and obedience in our lives. And this leads us directly to our second point, that God gives the obedience. We read that in verses 7 through 16. "So Noah with his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives went into the ark because of the waters of the flood, of clean animals, of animals that are unclean, of birds, and of everything that creeps on the earth. Two by two they went into the ark to Noah, male and female, as God had commanded Noah." So all of a sudden you've got animals two by two going into the ark. Noah has preached that this day would come for 100 years, and yet everybody is still sleeping. You'd think they'd wake up when the animals start just walking into the ark. Anyway, obedience to God's commands is a sign of faith. Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say?" Quite a charge to lay against someone. Yet it is so easily true for us. Do we claim truth and yet live a lie? How can we have confidence, as we see in 1 John, if we are not obedient to the command to love our neighbor? Love, of course, meaning obeying God's law toward them, doing them good. We see Noah's obedience as a sign of his true faith, which he had as a gift of God. Now, in our text, we see that it was pretty obvious. If God sent the flood as He promised to do, Noah's life depended upon being in the ark. Obedience to God in this world often brings physical blessings, even longer life, as in the case of Noah. But all of this is a symbol of what is to come. Obeying God's laws is a picture of our hearts, living out of faith in God, not with what we see with our eyes, not with what we feel with our hearts. Or someone else tells us, but trusting in God alone, that we have in Him hope for eternal life. Our obedience may endanger our lives, as we see of Daniel and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, both at the beginning, when they refused to eat the king's food, and later, when they would not bow before his idols. Remember Daniel 3, 17 and 18, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, by the way. When they're speaking to King Nebuchadnezzar, "If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image which you have set up." There was just no question in their minds. They knew that they weren't going to obey man. They weren't going to put their own necks before Almighty God. It doesn't matter if I live at the end of the day. It does matter if I'm obedient to God. Now, I'm not saying I'm great at obedience. And I'm sure you all agree with me, it's easier to trust in ourselves than in God. Yet we must understand that following our own ideas is a sure path to pain and to hell. We must sacrifice our own ideas and follow Christ. For as Paul said, 1 Corinthians 6:12, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. And so we see that God blesses obedience. God blesses Noah and God blesses us in obedience. Verse 14, so that those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. The Lord shuts up the door of the ark. Who knows if Noah could have shut it himself? In light of the flood that's coming, there was only one way to survive, that God would bless the work of Noah, to use the ark to keep them alive in the flood. Without God's blessing, nothing we could do is worth anything. This is what we confess in Heidelberg Question Answer 63. Do our good works merit nothing, even though it is God's will to reward them in this life and in that which is to come? The reward comes not of merit, but of grace. Again, Luke 17:10. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants, we have done what it is our duty to do. Even when we've done all that God has commanded us, by the way, we always fall far short of that, we will only have done what it is our duty to do. So we see that God gives obedience to His commands. Of ourselves, we can't do anything good. We need to realize that and confess that. But that God works faith in our hearts, and God works good works, Ephesians 2 verse 10. We are a new creation created in good works which God has foreordained that we should walk in them. Even our good works are a gift of God. God works faith in our heart. God promises to reward those good works, but they are our response of thanksgiving to God's salvation. Notice where they are in the Heidelberg Catechism. They're in the third part, rightly so. And so God gives the salvation. We look at verses 17 through 24. Now the flood was on the earth 40 days. The water increased and lifted up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. The waters prevailed and greatly increased on the earth. Well, Noah built the ark, right? He saved himself, right? He pulled himself up by his own bootstraps. Of course not. God used, quite honestly, in the history of the world, if we look at it closely, there had never been such a thing as a big boat at that time in the history of the world. But God provided that Noah would be able to create an ark to save all animals. So he destroyed all living things which are on the face of the earth, both man and cattle, creeping thing, bird of the air. They were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive. And the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. We see here in the midst of the destruction of the world what it means to be held in the hands of our Savior. If God be for us, who can be against us? Nothing can touch us if we are truly putting our trust in Him. As Paul says in Romans 8, nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, not even death. In our text, we see this worldwide flood, which we have been talking about. The waters prevailed high above the hills, under the whole heaven were covered. The waters prevailed 15 cubits upward, and the mountains were covered. As again, it's not a local flood. By the way, interestingly, recently, they discovered more water in the earth than they thought was here. There are huge, vast sums of water just underneath the crust of the earth, just inside of the, below the continental shelf. I didn't know about those. So when we start talking about the fountains of the deep being broken up, sounds interesting. Anyway. The water high above the highest mountains. People want to say, no, local flood. This is not how the Bible treats it. Luke 17:27, Jesus said, they ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. God is the one who controls where the sea is and where the sea isn't, by the way. Remember that in creation? God set the firmament there when He marked out the foundation of the earth. Without His blessing, the ark would have been nothing but the first Titanic. We need to realize that too. Not a lifeboat. In the flood, God destroyed almost all of the life on the earth. All flesh died that moved on the earth. Birds and cattle, beasts, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of the Spirit of life. All of them died. Why? Because man's sins were so bad. God takes our sins seriously, brothers and sisters. God is not amused at our sins. We read in 2 Peter 2, verse 5, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. God saved Noah from the death, by the way, that he deserved. Only Noah and those who were in the ark with him remained alive, we read in verse 23. God saved them. No matter what work they did in the process, we have to realize that anything good that they did was a gift of God. So with us, obedience and a life that stemmed from it, it was the work of God in their lives. So we see that God's the one who gives salvation. We must not pat ourselves on the back because we have been called out of darkness. It ought to humble us. It ought to cause us to turn more and more from sin. For if we have been saved from sin, how shall we live any longer in it? And so the Lord proves His servant. The Lord provides the promise of the destruction. We're told that there is a judgment coming. How do we live? How then shall we live upon this earth? God commands us how to live. He tells us in His Word. As well, we rely on Him for the obedience. We don't say, well, look how good I am to God. God is He who provides for us the obedience. We must be on our knees for that obedience, but we are in reliance on Him. And we see that God's the one who gives the salvation. God's the one who uses the works that we do to provide for us good and not evil. When we think, well, I did all of this perfectly. I got it all figured out. That guy said to Jesus, I've done all of that since I was young. If God doesn't bless it, we've got nothing. And so we are entirely reliant on God for the blessing of each and every day of our lives. And as we look at Noah, we see his obedience. Obedience to the commands of God. And that God uses that to save him from the flood and uses that to save his family as well from the flood. And we are then called to live lives of obedience, knowing that God uses those lives for His glory and for our good. Amen. Let us then rise, let us bow before God in prayer, and we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You that You show Your salvation to us through the salvation which You provide for Noah. We thank You that You gave Noah the promise and the call to be obedient to Him, to You, and that You provided it as well through him, that obedience. And that through that obedience You used him to save the species of this earth and his own family from the judgment which You sent because of the wickedness of man. And so, Lord, we pray that we might truly be obedient to You. That we might truly live lives of thanksgiving to you, relying on you for our daily bread, relying for each and every breath, and relying for eternity on the salvation which you have so freely promised. We pray, O Lord, in thanksgiving and in praise for what you have given us in Christ Jesus, for the eternal life which you have so freely given us. And we pray, O Lord, that we might always live then in thanksgiving to you for that salvation, that we might truly give you the glory and the honor that is due to your name. For we ask these things, we pray only in the name of Jesus Christ our Savior, praying as he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.